everybody! Welcome to the Geeks Next Door, episode 40. It's December 22nd. One more shopping day until Christmas. Hopefully everybody's done with everything. I'm assuming everybody is by now, right?
Yeah, I am.
Looking at you, Ryan.
I think I am.
Alright, I hope so. You got one shopping day. Well, technically two. Well, it's a Saturday, I guess.
And we're having kind of split Christmas with the different families, so there's some time. So I can three different times this year.
I don't know about that. Cool. We are A-dubless currently, because he works for one of those companies that has to work a billion hours delivering your packages before Christmas. So he is not here. Maybe he'll show up later on the podcast. Hey, last time we talked about our favorite movie of 2016 that came out. Does anybody want to revise and say Star Wars, or do you want to keep your original that you had?
I did last week.
You did? Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'll say Star Wars. It was really good, man.
Okay. I think I'm still on the Arrival. Uh-oh.
I'm going to leave Deadpool as well, just to get the variety.
Right.
Uh-oh.
I was going to say TV show, but you can do video game if you want as well. Fuck it. Let's just stick with TV show, because I don't think Ryan played a new video game in years, so otherwise...
Oh, I have, but...
just over the last 2 weeks, right?
With, like, three total in the last 3 years, so...
But did the game come out this year, or you just played it this year?
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, so what I need is some... Oh, my God, please, Skype. What I need is some suggestions for shows that came out this year. I need somebody to write them down, too. I can write
Game of Thrones.
Ooh, is that a new one, or do we just want to say the new season?
New season.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking TV shows...
This season was so good, dude. That's the whole thing.
Okay, so give me two. Give me, like, a new original program that you saw that you liked the best, and also if you want to throw in, like, a season of something that's cool, too.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, I think, is really good.
I suppose that's technically a TV show, isn't it?
Yep.
It doesn't feel like a TV show. You know, when I think of TV shows, that's not the first thing I think of. All right, Stranger Things. You guys said Game of Thrones, season whatever.
6 or 7? Which one is it? I don't know.
I don't know either.
6 feels right.
6. Yeah, 6. 7 and 8 are the short ones.
Right.
Okay. I guess, did Luke Cage come out this year?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only show that came out this year, I think, that I've watched.
It would have been better if you're like, that's the only show that came out this year.
What else here?
Nobody... I haven't watched it, but Adam would have a big boner for The Crown.
Oh, that's true, The Crown, yeah. That's a good one. People like to put that down. Ryan, did you ever get into MacGyver? That came out this year. Is it still on?
I actually, good point, I did watch the first episode of the MacGyver.
I'd be surprised if it was still on, actually.
I think it is. I don't think they canceled it. It's in the Deadly Friday night slot.
Oh, is it? So it's going away soon, yeah. Probably.
Probably. Was season 2 of Daredevil.
Was that the beginning of the year?
That was the beginning of this year.
Okay.
I really liked Westworld.
Westworld's a new one I haven't watched yet, but apparently it's really good. Okay. So, pick one or pick an original one, and let's talk about it.
Did you watch one something that was British in comedy, and it talking about, like, trust the universe, kind of?
Oh!
Dirk Gently?
Dirk Gently. I'll put it on the honorable mentions, Dirk Gently.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So, thoughts, somebody.
I'd have to go, if I had to choose, because a lot of them were like second seasons or, you know, not really originals, except for like Westworld. I thoroughly enjoyed Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one for me to beat, actually. So.
Yeah. I just like the uniqueness of it. It brought up some childhood nostalgia. And there's some twists in there that you're just like, oh, they're not really going. Oh, yes, they are going there. Okay, I can see that.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. Really enjoyed season 1. have a lot of apprehension over season two.
Yeah, so do I.
The fact that it's just a continuation, it's not something new.
So. Yeah, I could see it either way. So, and when Ryan watches it, he can talk about it too, but he hasn't got to it. It's on his list, though. So
it's on my list.
Okay.
I think I'm going to dump Luke Cage, so...
You're going to dump it?
I think I'm going to dump it.
Oh, okay. So you were watching it, and you're like, eh, it's really not for me, kind of a thing.
I mean, it's okay, but it's not good enough at this point for me to not watch something like
it's
Stranger
not
Things.
It's not super riveting. In fact, we haven't finished it. We have two more episodes left, so that makes it not riveting, so I can understand that. Okay, what about you, Dave?
Actually, I'm going to come out, and I'm going to actually say... Preacher. I totally
forgot about Preacher.
Came
That's right.
out this year. That was pretty good too. I did not like the ending, but it was a very good show.
I really liked it. And I also like it was, I think it was this year, but like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Is that technically new this year?
Yeah, no. It was 2016. I think it was 2016, man.
No, I think I remember them saying like I remember last year them signing off last year for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it is. Okay. It's a good fucking show, though. You're right. So, yeah. It just makes me sad sometimes watching that show, though.
I know.
Of the absurdity of our legal, of our government system. So.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's like, as Adam would say, "Oof, that's tough."
Ooh, I don't know about this. okay.
Mr. Robot was really good this year too.
Season
oh yeah,
two.
That's good. Yep, but not new.
Was
not
it
net new.
Right?
Was it better than season one? That's a tough one for me.
I don't know. Season one felt like it was like they knew exactly what they wanted and they made like it's like you'd tell when someone comes up with a really good idea and then like capitalizes and puts that idea like exactly the way they wanted to, like the actors do exactly the way they wanted it. They shoot it the way they need it to be, and you're like, oh, okay, they might. Are they going to suffer the sophomore slump and then come in with something that's never as good? They did a really good job, but I don't know if it was as good.
I mean, this is the year where he like reveals he was in jail,
right?
I actually think they were pretty bold. I mean, they did not rest on their laurels. They did some crazy shit. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to find a twist, but that worked for me. I was like, oh, shit, that's why he's talking about Seinfeld.
Yeah. I liked it a lot, actually, so I'm going to give it credit. I might even like it more than year one, because actually, you know, the first year was good, but it was like, you know, you pretty much knew it was in this. I at least it was pretty obvious to me this was
right.
Like Fight Club
right,
in his
right.
head. This year was interesting. There was some interesting shit.
And I really like the FBI agent. I think she's a good character. She's got so many fucking weird flaws that makes her a good character.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. All right. God damn. I hate picking up best. Okay, so I'll just say the shows that I'm watching that I'm enjoying, besides CW shows, of course, because they're all
right. Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stranger Things was really good, obviously. But I haven't watched Westworld, so I'm assuming that's a good show. I just haven't got around to watching it yet.
Right. Yep.
Because everyone talks about it. Oh, it's so good. But me and Amy watch a show called You're the Worst, which is a sitcom, a half-hour kind of sitcom show. No, it's an hour, I think. No, it's I don't remember. But anyways, it's a good show. It's basically about a couple really terrible people. And it's really well written, so it's like a comedy. It's a different, you know how you get different video games when you want to feel like, oh, I'm going to play this because I'm in my building phase. I'm in this because I want to murder people phase. It's a good comedy phase. Like I want to watch some comedy. I've laughed out loud several times, which is a good sign of good writing.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now if there's something, I'm trying to figure out the thing that I would want to go back and watch. Again, like movies, it's easier for me to watch because I'm like, okay, it's 2 hours.
It's a big commitment, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like even a short one is like, oh, that's 8 hours. That's 8 hours worth of stuff I got to get through. But I think if I wanted to go back and watch something, maybe It might be Game of Thrones, man, honestly.
Don't say that. Ryan will be watching it for... He'll start over again. All right, season one.
There's a good chance I'll rewatch some of it before the next season.
Just
to get my mind freshened up.
This season, I think, was so satisfying on, like, so many things. The last few episodes were so incredibly satisfying. And the fact that we got places that we never got to before, like having read books, I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to be there.
Yeah. Okay.
So tell me more about You're the Worst quick, Chris, because I don't see if it can make my list, because there are many times where I need comedy as my go-to, but I don't really have one I go to right now.
Yeah, and that actually took the place of Luke Cage a lot of the times when we're like, all right, we're gonna watch like 2 hours of TV tonight. What should we watch? And we're like, well, we still have Luke Cage to finish. And then we're like, oh, we could watch You're the Worst, which is, it's got 3 seasons under its belt, and we went through all 3 seasons in the last, like, 2 months. So, you know, it's pretty quick. I don't know, it's a fun show. It's hard to explain, you know? It's a dude who... go ahead.
I was just going to ask, like, is it, like, a bunch of friends? Is it a family? Is it a relationship? You know, usually there's like some central character.
Sure, I got you. So the two main characters, who are both terrible people, but do their best to try to not be terrible people, are meet each other and get into a relationship, which they both agree is doomed to failure because they're both terrible people. Okay. So they know they're terrible people. They know relationships don't work for them. So they're like, we're going to be together, but it's not really a relationship that's going to work. We're just going to be together and have fun with it, whatever. And kind of revolves around that, and they're two friends, so to speak. It's good. It's a good show. And like anything, it's the writing and the characters. And the minor characters are really good. It's also the show that one of his like, the main character gets into improv.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of improv jokes in there. They make fun of the community a lot, kind of, you know? Like, there's one point where he's like, I need to declare something to you, and in theater, you make declarations in improv, right? You don't just say things. And he just says it in everyday life. You're like, ah, that's funny. It's subtly funny, you know. It's good writing, cool. Basically. Yeah.
Is it on Netflix or is it on?
I think we watched it on Hulu. It's also on basic Comcast thingy, but I don't know.
On demand.
Yeah. And the other one I watched that nobody really watches is Timeless. I think it's a dumb show that's kind of fun because it has to do with history.
That's the one where they're chasing the guy who used to play a doctor in ER around time.
If you say he used to be a doctor in ER, I'll believe you. But it reminds me of Alias. There's this like subtle plot going on in the background that's going to be the main plot, you know, kind of a thing where there's conspiracies and Baldi devices and shit like that. It reminds me a lot of that. So I hope they get to explore it, but I think it's kind of on the chopping block as well.
What's their time travel like? What is it? How do they? What's the device that allows them to time travel?
So they have a time machine, which was stolen, and then they have a time machine lifeboat, they call it. And the lifeboat was not stolen. So basically they can know where the guy who stole their time machine used to work for them. And for some reason, he turned on him, and that's kind of what the whole plot is, this whole thing. So they can tell what date he went back to, and so they're like, oh, shit, what happened at this date? And since she's an American history professor, she's like, oh, that's this date. They're like, all right, get in your fucking clothes and go back and stop him, kind of a thing.
Man, that seems like a lot of the plot to a little show called Legends of Tomorrow, where they go back and stop stuff.
Yeah,
and one of the guys is like a history professor, so he knows all the stuff.
She's female. It's completely different. They never go forward in future though, but it is interesting to see subtly how like they just mention it. Like my favorite part of the show is the last 5 minutes when they're like, "How has our history changed based on the subtle things that they did?" So it's just little things like, I can't really explain it, but who actually died at the Alamo now, you know, that kind of thing. So little things like that. It's fun. They're very subtle, and they're things like, oh, Aiku, I see what you did there, yeah.
Why don't we just take the time machine and go back to before they left to try and come back to stop him?
because he doesn't actually want to. I can't say too much, you know, because otherwise, if I say too much,
you can ruin it for me. No, watching this show.
Oh, you should. It's very good. basically, they don't. He doesn't want to kill them. He doesn't. He is. In fact, he kind of needs her and wants her to. It's so weird. I mean, he's got a journal from the girl who's chasing him, kind of on his side, but so that she hasn't written yet, and so he shows her, he's like, this is your words, you're going to join me, and she's like, never, you killed my sister by making her not exist, and other things happen. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's acting that you just portrayed, man, makes me want to watch it now.
That's about the level of acting you're going to get.
Wow.
But you don't go for the acting, you go for the plot and the history. All right, what about you, Ryan? Did you have another one, or was that... I don't remember if you said anything.
No, I had... Basically, the winner, to me, is clearly Game of Thrones.
Because you didn't start anything new this year.
I didn't, and I think I might have watched all of Game of Thrones again this year. So, ways, I get a free pass. Because it was new to me.
Doesn't it make you sad, though, when they killed Marjorie? Doesn't it make you want to quit the show? You're like, Marjorie, no!
I'm so good looking.
There's so much good stuff. Even that, I like them the way they are willing to make things happen in that show. Okay. Anything.
That was actually my problem with Preacher. Was really fun show. They did some cool things, and at the end you're like, oh man, now I feel down. And granted, that's kind of that's what they're going for. But you know, it reminds me of The Walking Dead, which I kind of stopped watching because I didn't want to feel sad all the time. Yeah. Okay, cool. Good answers. Maybe we'll get something from A-Dubs if he shows up here eventually, but let's get going here.
This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good, we get it started. This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good, we get it started. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party.
All right, guys. So I want to talk about Star Wars more, but I want to talk about Star Wars on the tail end of the show because that way people will be like, I haven't seen Star Wars. I can't listen to your podcast. So we'll get all our other stuff done. We'll do some cool things. Then maybe we'll talk about Star Wars more because I got some shit brewing in my head. So what else we got going on?
They are making a sequel to Blade Runner.
Yeah, I saw that. People went crazy over it. And I have to go back and watch Blade Runner now. It's been so long.
Ooh, I'll bring the DVD.
Oh, maybe we should have watched it on Tuesday. Ooh, or Wednesday. We could have. You're right.
Right. Do you remember Blade Runner, Ryan?
I get Blade Runner and the Mad Max one in my brain.
All right. I can see that.
Basically, the whole plot of Blade Runner is it's like 2029. But it was made in, like, 82. So it made sense. It's like, even though it's only 13 years in the future now. But we've colonized various, like, planets and terraform, stuff like that. But we built a lot of, like, androids that have, like, three-year lifespans and stuff like that. But they're really, really smart and indistinguishable between humans and stuff like that. So they want to live, and we don't want them to... like infiltrate humanity and stuff like that. So there's a whole bunch of guys called Blade Runners who go out there and who are cops that track down rogues androids and then put them away and kill them, retire them. So, and it's just it's that cool future where it's like everything's all super, you know, like it's constantly raining and there's neon lights everywhere in Japan. It was the 80s, so Japan took over tons of stuff. So,
yeah,
it has Harrison Ford in it, and it's it's really good.
That movie's the first one that I remember, to Ford. I remember it like hit me with what was actually going on, kind of a thing. Was there a subplot going on with him, and was he a replicant, that kind of stuff?
Right, yep.
And then the fucking, the Tears in the Rain monologue, that stuck with me forever. And Ryan, I know you don't know what that is, so I will read it to you real quick. And I think it's his delivery, which I can't do, but he said, it was, quote, I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on the fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the transponder gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die. Just before he dies, he gives this monologue that's like, it's just really well delivered, and that the writing is in such a way that if there's some analogies going on, I was like, early 80s, I was a kid, I was like, fuck yeah, that's how you write shit!
Right.
Sounds good. I bet you I've seen it, but maybe not.
The only time I watched it, it was in college. I took a history of cities, and had to do a thesis on the dystopian future of Blade Runner versus cities that we have today. And So that's the only time I ever watched it. But I thought it was good. Spent too much time watching it, not trying to figure out how to write a paper, though.
Right. Yeah. So it's never implicitly said that the main character is a replicant, but it's heavily implied.
Right.
So, if he is, why isn't he dying and stuff like that?
Right.
So this takes place like 20 years later,
yep.
And there's another guy who's hunting down Harrison Ford's character.
Yeah, so that will answer a lot of these questions, I'm assuming, because he spends most of the movie hunting down what he may be, or what the theory was that he was.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I saw a theory on a website today. After, they had watched this trailer, and they're like, so is Harrison Ford just out killing all his iconic characters?
That's what I was thinking, too. I said the same thing to Amy. I was like, they're definitely going to kill him off. He wants to go out and play single player with all his characters. Indy's next, you know he is.
Ooh, but they are doing another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's his last one, definitely.
Yeah.
He's going to be shot by his kid in this one, too. Like, oh, no!
The thing is, a couple of shots, and that thing is, we laugh at that it's his kid, but a couple of shots, he's wearing a jacket very similar, he looks very similar in his, haircut and stuff like that. If the clone, the replicant is a variation on the replicant that Deckard is, so it's not him being a kid, but it is him as a kid killing him and being, supplanted by, a newer version of him. So.
I can see that, yeah. Yeah. The only problem with the show is it uses 1980 technology. So I actually think a newer one will be kind of cool to watch. If they want to, I could see it either way. I could see them redoing it, and I'd be fine with it. And I could see a continuation. I'd be fine with that. So it's
right.
One of those. Or maybe it's just that not close to me, so I don't care as much. I don't know.
It reminds me of... The idea reminds me of Judge Dredd. Is it, a similar... I may be wrong, but the sense of it reminds me of Judge Dredd, old, decent movie, not the best special effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, which Judge Dredd?
The Stallone? Old one to the new one. Oh, wait, is there an older... Yeah.
No, you're right.
No,
yeah,
Stallone was the first one, and then... I thought you were comparing Judge Dredd to Blade Runner.
Oh, no, but I think you're just saying...
You're comparing the two Dredds.
Well, you're saying it's an old movie that doesn't have the best technology that you could redo and nobody would really care that much.
And it's sci-fi based.
Yeah.
And it's in a dark world, what I mean? Where shit's gone down.
Yeah, it's weird you can touch some of those movies like that, but I don't want to see them remake some movies that are really good, But some I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I wonder why that is.
What are you going to do when they remake Star Wars? Are you going to lose your mind?
I don't think they ever will. They can just keep making different variants.
Original story. Yeah.
I think when we're 80, they might.
I don't know, man. Why? We make Star Wars Episode 46.
Because it'd be what are we going to do this time? We made six Death Stars now.
They didn't make six Death Stars.
The bad guy was always the other guy's father, eight times now. So.
Gareth Edwards in an interview said the other day that they actually have another remastered New Hope back at the Lucas Ranch, but it's made for 4K.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that's going to release it updated. That makes sense.
Someday.
More money. Yay. More money, more. Less problems because you got more money. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll watch that show. I think it'll be fun. I think before it comes out, before we see it, we should all sit around and watch the original, too.
Yeah.
It's a future date.
And it's really hope is it's directed by the guy who directed The Arrival.
Huh.
Well,
it's like this Canadian guy that like came in, this French Canadian guy. It's like Denis Villeneuve. It's like he directed Sicario and stuff like this, which was a really good movie that came out a couple of years ago or last year. But this guy has like a gigantic boner for Dune. Like he does, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing he wants to do more than anything else. And like Legendary got the rights to it like a couple months ago, and they're just like, well, shit, if he wants to do it, he's got like the last bunch of movies he made, everyone's really liked. If he wants to do it, we should definitely put it, you know, in his hands if he's willing to do it. Because that's something like the original, like some people hate it.
But that's
but
one
I
that
love that movie.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, don't touch that movie. It's fine. I don't want it, but I do want to see it remade too. Good, you know? It's weird.
Like I just want to see like just what they do. Like all the craziness. Sure, it's gonna be, it's not gonna be mine. Mine has got Patrick Stewart as Gurney Halleck.
But I wish
they told me you were dead.
Don't you trust your own eyes, Gurney. I wanted to remake it, but I wanted to remake it based on the movie, not the books.
Right.
Like they've always tried to remake it based on the books. Fuck the books, they're fine, but the movie, the 1980 movie, is amazing. Remake that shit with new shield technology.
Right, that was just weird. And like, Inner Monologue, I've never seen another movie do that.
Don't get rid of Inner Monologue, it's amazing!
Yeah, it was... And the fact that it's like there's such a weird mystique about that movie where it's all like, oh shit, there's the regular, the cut that came out that was like 2 hours and 19 minutes. And then there's the cut that was only shown on TV like in the middle of the night that's like 3 hours. And then the crazy cut that has like the half hour painted, hand-drawn paintings at the beginning that explains the universe.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
shit
that.
Shit like that.
Because
I got that version where it's like 3 hours and then 3.5 hours long, and it explains the universe with paintings and stuff.
It's just, what's her name like, explaining it, right? The fucking
yeah, explaining the whole beginning of the universe
there.
And
yeah.
stuff, and you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, what else we got to talk about? What else is on the little listy thingy here? Can't see it. Not much?
Not much.
Yeah,
did anyone watch SNL at all?
Yes, I watched it.
Man. Baby Affleck, man, Casey Affleck is pretty hilarious. Like, I just put up the Dunkin' Donuts scene, man. It was so funny. He was basically, they're talking about Dunkin' Donuts. He's all like, oh, Dunkin' Donuts is my, you know, my go-to breakfast place. And he's like, but he's doing it as a guy from Boston. And he's freaking hilarious. He's all like, this place is fucking a bomb, man. I love getting my breakfast here. Like, there's a shot of him where he's standing with the door, like, shut and having his hand holding a cigarette outside. And he's like, hey, man, you can't smoke in here. I ain't smoking in here. The cigarette's outside. Hey, get the fuck out of here. It's super, super funny, man. And it's just the fact that he can make fun of being, you know, from Boston.
Yeah, there was a couple skits in there where they're like, let's just talk, let's just, the whole thing was just, we're East Coast people, let's make fun of East Coast people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's, what else is that? Oh, Winter Sale on Steam.
Thank you, that was on my list, but I completely forgot. So there's two things that I think we should look into getting as a group. And Dave, you had the first one, what was it?
Gang Beasts, come on.
Oh yeah, the one we watched, Gang Beasts from last, it's on sale for $14, something like that.
Yeah, like 13 and change.
33% off.
Yeah. And Dead by Daylight I think would be fun to pick up. That's like $14, something like that. It's a be a fun game to play as a group, but that's about it. I don't want to play it with anybody else, I just want to play with you fuckers.
What is Dead by Daylight?
It's the one where so there's a small little area and you and a bunch of friends are running around and trying to evade and escape another character, another PC who is the killer, and the killer's, you can't fight the killer, he has a weapon, so he's like, you know, I got a chainsaw or some shit, and he catches you and he tries to put you on a tree and you die. And so it's kind of a cooperative with the other five or six people to try to get generators to open the door and help each other out and just try to survive.
Yeah, when you're playing as the survivor kind of guys, it's third person, so it's kind of behind them, so you can kind of see the environment. And you can kind of hide behind things and use, like, the third-person camera to your advantage of being able to, like, scoot around stuff and see. And the killer is first person, so he can't see you. His like field of vision is just what his monitor sees. So
that's interesting.
And you can get like all kinds of crazy perks and stuff like that, like where the monster can get the help from like the crows that happen to be around. So the like, oh shit, the crows see the survivors. I gotta go over here.
Yeah, you watch people play it on Steam. It's pretty fun. Or not Steam, Twitch. It's pretty fun. I mean, it's just, it's quick. Matches are like 10 minutes, and then you just either change sides or you just kind of move around and get somebody else. And it looks pretty fun for a $13 game.
So the monsters win when, or the monster wins when everybody dies?
Yep.
Or if anybody dies?
I don't know. I don't know if it's everybody or somebody. I don't even know if there's like a win thing. It's like you win completely if everybody dies. But is it a moral win if you kill four people, you know? Because when they knock you down or slice you up, you can still be saved by people. It's just harder, and then you're wounded, so you're kind of, you know, shuffling along and almost dead and stuff. It looks like they did a good job with it. For $13, I would probably buy that.
Right.
Oh, and then daylight is when the round ends, basically? Or the game ends when it's daylight?
I don't think there's a time. Maybe there is. I just know you have to get outside the fucking walls. I've never played it.
Oh, okay.
Never played it myself. Just watched a few people play it. So.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
I'm watching videos of it. It looks frightening.
It is frightening. And then, yeah, Gang Beasts is one we talked about last week, which looks pretty fun as well. So.
It looks really fun.
Yeah. It looks stupid fun.
Right, like, that's what I mean.
Like actually stupid, comma, fun. Both of those words.
Yep, I agree. Steam sale goes until January something, early January, but I just saw on my fucking list there everything was on sale. I was like, God damn it, why is everything on my wish list on sale?
Right,
yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It's stuff, all the Star Wars stuff is on sale. So I was like, oh, every Star Wars thing for $23? That sounds pretty great. Like 30-some games for $23. And I'm like, that sounds like such a good deal. I should really have every Star Wars game.
You know what? I would. I played so much fucking TIE Fighter back in the day. That would be interesting. Or X-Wing and TIE Fighter. Both
X-Wing.
Of them.
X-Wing.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Like, it's what showed, it was what it's still what annoys me in fucking games when they're like, that X-Wing just blew up, god damn it, they have forward shields. They have all their shields in the back or what? They're supposed to have shields still.
Right. That's the whole thing. It's like, an X-Wing should be able to take down a shit ton of TIE Fighters.
Right, because it got shields.
TIE Fighters don't,
TIE Fighters have no shields, it's just you blow up right away. Yeah, but maybe they had them set to double front.
Yeah, double fronts.
TIE Fighter Wars Special Edition, is that what you're talking about?
Nah, it was back, I mean, this was in the 90s, it was just called TIE
Fighter.
Literally
called, or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
That was the second one. There was one just called,
the sequel.
There was one called X-Wing, there was one called TIE Fighter, and then they kind of made a different one. But you could also, you know, you flew around Y-Wings and shit, and B-Wings,
right.
It was kind of neat. So.
Well, the solo missions had you playing, you had to play, you know, each mission was designed around one of the ships.
Right.
Holy shit, I'm looking at this TIE Fighter Wars Special Edition. Maybe not the game you're talking about, but it's on sale. It's old school. It was made in 94.
Yep.
And you look at the graphics and you go like, wait a second, man. Old school graphics did not, they're bad. You know, I like old school games, but the graphics are bad.
Oh, they are. But yes, it's just what you remember from back then. Yeah, I know what you said.
Yeah, you look at it.
Oh,
I remember
God, they're
being
bad,
better than
right.
that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like, whoa.
I mean, the combat one kind of looks similar. I mean, or whatever, when you're actually in combat, flying around, shooting pixelated stuff.
I just like looking at the system requirements where it's like, storage, 268 megs.
Like, ooh, I don't know if I can fit that on my computer anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's funny.
Okay. Hey, you guys want to play a game real quick?
Sure.
All right.
Let's
do
it.
It's a game. It's fun. Where points mean nothing and everyone wins. It's called D&D Plotline Movies. All right?
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a movie, a movie that we all know and probably love. Let's put it into D&D terms and see if you can guess what it is.
Okay.
So I'll give you... what's that?
Are you going to do it and we're going to guess, or we're each going to go through and make our own description in D&D terms?
Oh, no, I've got them. I'm just going to... do them, and then you guys can guess. So, an example of one. Here's what I'm talking about. Utilizing powerful time-traveling spells, a warrior from a nearly extinct tribe must journey back to save the mother of a legendary general from a savage, nearly unstoppable foe.
Terminator.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because that's the easier ones. They might get a little bit more obtuse from here.
I got my one. I'm done for the night.
It's not a competition. You might want to give each other a few seconds to think about it, and then when you got something, be like, all right, I think I got something.
All right.
Give it a shot. Let's do this one. This one's not too bad. All right. A group of fighters and mages must use their newly created magical weapons to stop an evil madman from unleashing an ancient god. The final climactic battle occurs when two psychically dominated humans unlock the portal that brings forth the deity's 100-foot avatar.
Ghostbusters,
yeah. I got some hints if they're too obtuse. My hint was they must choose the form of their avatar, which I think would kind of give it away. So.
Right. And a psychically bound too. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Did you make these up or did you find these somewhere?
I made them up. Come on, give me some credit.
I want to give you credit, but not if Dude, you...
He's like at work and he's like, I got nothing to do. Fuck you guys.
Well, it sounded like a fun thing to do. We were watching the end of Ghostbusters. I was like, you know what? This is a D&D plot, really, Amy. And she's like... Yeah, kind of. I was like, I bet I could put this into D&D terms, and I think it would be fun to guess the movies. All right. Here we go. The son of a wealthy plantation owner seeks out and trains with the greatest monks and fighters of the world in order to bring order to a city he loves. However, the arrival of a chaotic bard complicates his quest as well, the ones he loves becomes threatened.
Come on. Really, guys? Ryan?
Hey, they're not easy. They're not as easy as you think. If it doesn't click right away, they're not easy.
I got nothing.
Okay, the key for... I'll give you a hint, too. Dave, do you think you got it?
I think I have.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. In order to fight this evil, he takes on a winged personification. And the key line is, the arrival of a chaotic bard complicates this. Alright, Dave, what do you got?
Well, that's the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Or Batman, or any of the various things.
Yes, the Dark Knight. Good job. Alright, I'm having fun. I don't know if you guys are, but I'm having a good time here.
I'm having a good time. This is a good game.
I am too.
All right.
Before you announce it, Dave, the chaotic bard.
Yeah.
I was it was just okay. So I'm getting a little.
Well, the big thing is like
up
this
here.
Guy goes in wealthy plantation owner, so it's rich and trades with people.
Yeah, but those details, the details that don't matter, like plantation, those really throw me for a loop.
Okay,
like, you know?
That's like that's right. Like, right on the line.
All right.
Like going. Plantation owner, we're heading for Forrest Gump. All right.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of generic things put in just to
to flesh it out like a D&D campaign. Yep.
Okay, so this one you might need a hint. This one's a little bit more difficult if you ask me, so we'll see. An old sage reluctantly takes on a young protege after becoming afoul of the king and losing his land grant. The two journey to the far reaches of the world, battle sentient animals, and a mastermind determined to keep them from finding Paradise Falls.
A sentient?
You want it again?
Say it again. I think I know what this is.
Is this
Up?
It is Up! Good job!
I was like, Paradise Falls, it's from the movie Up, but I just wanted to hear it one more time.
So Paradise Falls gave it away. I was curious about that. So, the hint was, they journey via the sage's newly created flying Mordekainen's magnificent mansion.
All right.
That's funny.
Okay, two more. I got two more for you. Let's see. This one I don't like as much, but we'll see how it goes. A ranger must utilize his animal companions, primarily wolves and bears, to fight off an internal evil and save his home from a forest fire. A ranger must utilize his animal companions, primarily wolves and bears, to fight off an internal evil and save his home from a forest fire. Would you like a hint?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right. During the quest, the ranger must outwit a massive great ape. Ooh, this is a, I knew this one would be a tough one.
wait. I think it's Jungle Book.
You got it. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
That one was a little harder, I'm not going to lie, because it had to stretch to get a plot out of that one. If you actually look at the movie, not much plot in it.
No. Yeah.
I mean, he's fighting a fucking tiger most of the movie and running around talking to wolves.
Tiger hates him.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the plot.
Yep.
And he tries not to die eventually.
Man, cub.
Yep. Okay, last one. Two rogues, one secular, one devout, are tasked by their guild leader to recover a stolen artifact. In the process, their quest becomes intertwined with the gladiator attempting to flee after rigging his last bout. I'm really proud of this one.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah! Good job, Dave.
Yeah, it's like, I got it. I was getting to the point where I was like, yeah, I guess they're rogues. Yeah, that makes sense. Gladiator?
Bruce Willis.
He's a boxer who was on the run because of that fucking thingy.
He was supposed to lose the fight and said he knocked the guy out.
Yep.
We should watch that movie. I was thinking that when we were watching a movie last night that was on my list of, you know, it's top all-time movies. And I haven't seen it in a long time.
Gotcha. The hint for that one was, during the quest, one of the rogues must accompany the guild leader's wife to a ball where she proves quite a handful. Because again, there's not a lot that happens plot-wise in that movie. Like, you could boil it down to like two sentences.
It's all character.
It's character, dialogue, and even some of the cinematography is huge.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for humoring me. Maybe we'll come up with some more again if you guys get bored. Fucking write one up, and we'll do them next time. So
those are good. You should make it like a some sort of. You should write a book. That's the way you do, and then it's a game, and you sell it. It's a trivia game, but for D&D people who like movies, I'm sure there's enough.
Yeah, I know. But it's like selling the book might be your problem, because it's like, why would you just not? You'd have to be like, download the PDF.
Yeah, well, you have to do like print on demand or something.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what books are these days. They're all print on demand PDF kind of things, which is cool. I don't mind that. Alright. And yeah, you could have categories. It's just, you know what, I was having a hard time thinking of movies that were relevant enough and not like D&D movies themselves. Like Conan is a fucking D&D movie. You can't turn that into a D&D movie. It's just a D&D movie.
Well, you could.
I thought maybe you'd do one of the Dungeons & Dragons movies and see if we actually would get it.
I wouldn't get those. I'd be like, what? A blue-lipped guy did something?
Oh god, yeah.
They gotta be popular enough that people
actually. They have to be. Yes, very popular movies. All right, cool. Well, that was my
A Paladin in Iron takes off with his with his fighter friend to save the world from an ancient warforged.
What?
Ultron.
Transform.
Avengers.
Yeah. Whatever, you suck at this. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, you see, like, right, you'd have to start off with, like, an agent for the king is bringing together the world's most powerful warriors, mages, stuff like that to do battle with an otherworldly foe.
Yeah.
A man in a suited armor, a man with a suit and armor. The man with the bipolar man.
And also, you'd also have to, like, rate them on difficulty, I think. And that would be hard to do. Like, how do you, or you don't have to, I guess. But it'd be nice to be, like, easy, novice, really fucking hard.
Right.
I wonder if I have them sitting here. I have a printout of the Avengers as D&D characters.
Oh.
Like actual NPCs that you can tackle.
Huh, interesting.
But I don't remember where I put them. Had them somewhere. Eh, another day.
So they'll be showing up in Dave's game in the future. There's a guy flying around in a red suit. I don't know what he does.
Yeah, they're really high level, though. You just, like, because they're kind of unstoppable.
Yeah, they are. Okay, do you want to talk about Star Wars, or you guys got something else to talk about?
No, I sure like Star Wars.
Alright, spoilers from here on forward. Stop listening, motherfuckers. No, if you haven't seen Star Wars, it's time to go do something else. Because I'm going to talk a little about Star Wars. And you know what? Maybe we'll spoil a few things. I mean, might spoil a few things. So
I think we'll spoil a lot.
If you're not listening anymore, go away. Goodbye. We'll see you next week. Whatever. See you later. If you are listening...
Send us an email.
Yeah, emails. GeeksNextDoor, ftw@gmail.com. Now that those losers are gone, let's talk some awesome Star Wars stuff. Okay. Tell me the plot of Star Wars. In D&D terms. No, I'm just kidding. Alright, so... And we didn't really talk about the characters a lot last week. We talked briefly. I mean, actually, I think we talked longer than I thought we did, but it seemed very brief to me. How do I put this? Who's the hero of that movie?
Oh. I mean, the girl is the hero.
Jen seems like the hero in my mind.
Right. I also think Galen Erso is also a hero.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In some ways, they're all heroes, actually. They're all like... But, like, who's the leader?
They all played their part.
That's where it's... Yeah, and that's kind of common in war movies, too, where it's the platoon. You know, it's not necessarily... There usually is a general, and he's respected and has some cool things, but everyone plays a role that's important.
Right,
And made important by the movie, in fact. You know what
I mean? Yes, I agree. So is the hero a collective? Like, most shows, most stories have a protagonist, and that's the person you're supposed to kind of identify with. But it feels to me like they kind of went out of their way to say, all these people are together, they're all doing one thing, or attempting to do one thing, and then they're all going to die. So while I think classically the protagonist might be Jin, it seems to me that it's more of the group in general. It's kind of like... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, I agree,
it's like 1A, 1B, right? She's like the 1A, she's the group leader, she's the one that rallies them, she's the one that gets them, you know, she's reluctant at first, but then she comes around and gets them to be on her, you know, to fight for her cause kind of thing to get, but as a collective, they're the ones that pull it off and become the hero that saves the day, as a collective. But without Jin... I don't think you get to that point.
And it is Jin's more Jin's story than the others in that.
Definitely.
It begins with her, it follows her through times where the other people are not involved.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely more her.
I mean, we get her backstory. We find out kind of what drove her at an early age a little bit, but you know, we don't know why. We don't really see the story of the Imperial shuttle pilot. Why did he defect exactly? What did Galen say to him to encourage him to do it? So, yeah. You know.
Well, I agree.
What's the story behind K2SO and, you know, and other than he's a reprogrammed Imperial droid, but...
That's it.
You know,
how's a droid? How do you need to know about droids?
Oh, how'd they come across him? How did he partner up with... I can't even think of his name right now.
But
Cassian, yeah. So how they form up? So
form of Voltron.
Unless that's all in that Rogue One book.
Oh, it will be. It's got to be like that.
Because they have a prequel book to the movie.
Of course they do.
But I never read it. So
all right, I was listening to another podcast, which I listen to a lot, and they brought up an interesting point. In Episode 4, that's Star Wars: A New Hope. Luke Skywalker is given a lightsaber, right?
Yep.
And Ben Kenobi says, this was your father's lightsaber. He wanted you to have it when you were old enough, but your mother wouldn't allow it, or something like that.
Yep.
Right? Or aunt, or I don't know, something like that. So Luke takes that lightsaber, and he's practicing with it. He's trying to shoot fucking robot ball. Robot ball's too good for him. Whatever, he does some cool stuff. In Empire Strikes Back, he uses it some more. He kills a Tauntaun, or not a Tauntaun. Yeah, well, no, Han sliced over the Tauntaun.
Yep.
Yeah, but he kills a fucking ice beast with it. He goes and fights some other dudes, and then he fights Vader with it, right?
Yep.
So that lightsaber is Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
Yep.
That's the lightsaber that killed a group full of young kids.
Yep.
That lightsaber has done some dark shit. It killed a village of fucking sand people.
Yep.
Well, in Force Awakens, it kind of comes full circle, too. Because that's the lightsaber that Rey finds in Maz's place.
No, that's his new lightsaber, right?
Yeah.
Isn't
it? Yeah, because it's a green one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one he constructs.
No, it's the blue one. No, it's the blue one. It's the one where he got to, because he gets his arm chopped out. Yep.
Yeah.
It's Anakin's one.
That is Anakin's.
Yeah, because I remember they're going, Maz, how'd you get this? Well, that's a story for another time.
Oh, I thought that was his new one.
It's the blue one.
So that shit kind of explains why there's some dark shit she sees. I mean, that lightsaber has got if you believe in the Force, then it's got some juju behind it, right? It's killed a lot of fucking bad history. And how would you feel if somebody came to you on your secluded island and was like, here, take this lightsaber. And you're like,
Do you recognize it?
I guess he doesn't. He doesn't really know what it's done, but he did use it for a while.
I was gonna say, then you get that little Mark Hamill, smolder look that he's got going, and he's like that knowing, oh, I know what this is, and
I'm sure he knows, right? He carried it around for a couple of years or whatever. He used it. He probably recognizes it.
So, also too, now he's been gone for whatever long time, right? We know Obi-Wan can come and talk to him. It's happened before, happened in Empire, happened, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And at the end of Jedi, we saw Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda.
Yep.
Does he just get to talk to them all the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. And they alluded to the fact that Qui-Gon knows how to do that as well. He taught Yoda how to do it. So, yeah, maybe he's just hanging out there.
I think that would be, like, interesting. Like, that could be a whole thing, like... Everyone thinks he's fucking crazy, but he's just talking to these guys, these ghosts that are there the whole time, just being like, I think you should do this. I don't know. And it's just like, oh, man, this guy is fucking crazy. This Jedi Master is just talking to nobody, but he's just talking to four ghosts. Where
do they talk to dead people in the other movies?
In Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, Obi-Wan goes like, strike me down to Vader, strike me down, I'll become even, right? Boom, he gets killed. And
run,
then,
Luke,
like,
run.
Right, yeah, like he speaks to, like Luke hears his voices throughout time, and then when he goes and finds Yoda in Empire, like he actually manifests as like a Force ghost, blue light around him and stuff like that, and talks to him, and like from the grave, can explain things like
who his father was.
Who his father was. Like he's legitimately there. He just has no physical body.
Yeah.
And at the end of Return of the Jedi, we see Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Yoda. So these guys have all become manifested as Force ghosts. So Luke sees them. I'm not sure if Leia saw them.
Yeah, it did seem like she did, because at one point she was like, what are you looking at, or something like that.
And then she kind of glanced over.
Right.
And so, kind of had a smile.
Like, we know Luke can see them. They're not bound by space and time, because it's like Obi-Wan just showed up on, he didn't travel in a spaceship. What does God need with the starship? Like, he did. He just showed up on Dagobah. So, he could be talking. I think that would be really interesting.
I wonder if... It'd be interesting if that's the reason why he's in exile. Like, they were sitting there trying to talk to him. Like, no, this is what you gotta do better. Here's how we can fix things. And he's like, I don't want to hear from you all. And he finds a planet where they can't reach you.
Right.
Or maybe after the failure with Kylo Ren, they came to him and said, you need to search, because what's the story? Something, he went searching for the first Jedi Temple, right?
Yeah, okay, so they did say that, something like that, right? The original Jedi Temple, or the first Jedi Temple or something. Yep. So when we go to Jedha this new movie, that's apparently not the home of the Jedi.
Right.
Well, it's one of their temples.
But it wasn't the original one, or maybe
not,
it
was... Not the first.
Because the people were speculating that's why they're called Jedi. They're from Jedha.
Right. But it is all expanded mythology and stuff like that, so I don't know what they're going to take. So they could have taken that But with Force Awakens saying, like, oh, we went to the first Jedi temple, like the Jedi have been around, you know, for a few thousand years as Jedi, as we know them, like, you know, defenders of, like, order and law and stuff like that. But, like, the Sith were an older race that, like, they copied, like, the Sith copied with the lightsabers and stuff and said, like, oh, we're going to be, like, this race of beings. I wonder if the Jedi were a different race of people that the Jedi's kind of copied.
Well, could be, yeah.
Or, and even if they could get a nickname. Like, you know, like, they could have had their own name.
That's true.
Or they could have not called themselves anything.
Right.
But then they got, everybody called them Jedi because eventually they were in, you know, that place. I wouldn't have a hard time with that at all.
The first temple could really be just be like where the first Force users were. You know,
yep,
sure.
Like Brian, absolutely, you're saying, they didn't have a name until they established an order somewhere else, like on Jedha.
And maybe they had a name, but it's long forgotten. So, you know, what I mean, that's fine, too.
Or he went looking for the original temple. It's on Jedha, but he didn't know that. He just got lost somewhere, and he's hanging out on an island, and everybody else knows it's Jedha, and he's just lost because he's not a very good Jedi. Or he's a good Jedi, but he doesn't have very good directional sense. Could be.
Sure. Or because of the blast that took out the holy city in Jedha in Rogue One, Jedha's now been terraformed and it's just a watery planet with islands.
Hey, so, and they also mentioned that something I missed. What was the original? Did anybody remember the original name of Star Wars? Like long time ago, like something about the Wills or something like that.
Yeah.
What was that?
It was like The Adventures of Luke Starkiller as told by the Journal of the Wills.
Right.
And, oh, I've got that book.
Did they mention that in that movie? They said something like he's a guardian of the Wills or something?
Yeah, like whatever.
Donnie Yen's character.
Yeah, Donnie Carey. Yeah, it was the guardian of the Wills.
That's cool. I thought they just mentioned he's a guardian of the Jedi Temple, but that's cool that they went back and took something that's not anywhere near the movies. And they were like, he's the guardian of the Wills, and that's a thing that existed in only Lucas's mind, really. It's not in anything else. I thought that was neat that they put that in there.
I didn't notice that. That is cool.
I didn't either, because I forgot about that, and I had to point it, so another podcast pointed out. I was like, all right, I got you. That makes sense. That's cool.
Yeah, please.
So, second question. Jin and what's the dude's name again? Devron,
Cassian. Cassian Andor.
They watch the explosion coming towards them, right?
Yep.
Any chance at all that they're like, Mr. O'Brien, beam him up, and all of a sudden Starship Enterprise comes flying in, beams him up, and they're out of there. They're like, that was easy, and then they cross universes. Give me a 1% chance.
Make for an interesting movie.
I guess I'm gonna have to go with less than one. You know,
it's fucked up.
It's not zero.
One minus.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. How in the Star Wars universe, there's no transporters, and it kind of gets you like you don't have a get out of jail free card. Like Star Wars, you have a get out of jail free card if shit goes bad. I mean, you can always tamper with it. Oh, the rocks are too thick for transporters, you know. But in Star Wars, you don't get that. You know people can't... There's just predicaments they can't get out of, which is kind of cool in a way.
Yeah, because I always thought about that. Like in the 80s, 90s, before the advent of cell phones, it's all like, oh, no, we can't get a hold of whoever. You know? That's fine. And then cell phones came in, and like, everyone has a cell phone. You should be able to get a hold of them. It's like, hey, I got no bars. I got no signal. They instantly had a way of getting around, like, everyone having a cell phone.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't think so, because I think they both accept at the thing they both accepted like their fate. They did exactly what they needed to do.
Oh yeah,
it sucks.
I know.
It sucks because I both like their characters. I thought their characters could go interesting places.
It was a weird thing because it's like, are you trying to sell this to kids? You know, like all your other Star Wars movies? Because if you are, you're killing off your main character doesn't do well for selling toys, you know.
No, they couldn't have been selling it to kids. I mean, maybe they're trying to, but it was not a kid's movie. I would say that I wouldn't recommend anyone younger than maybe 13. Like, it's not a
young
kid.
So you put it at PG-13. Interesting. But that's a good point. So, if I...
What was it rated?
I don't
PG-13.
Know.
PG-13.
Was it?
PG-13.
But yep. If so, this is a movie that if I wasn't going to like a midnight showing, I would take the first time. Let's say for some reason we can't make it to a midnight showing. The next day I'm going to go with my family. I would have taken Persephone because it's a Star Wars movie. We watch Star Wars movies together. And it would be a movie that would be like, oh shit, what the fuck just happened? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of people talking about how afterwards they're like, oh, I'm going to go see this. I'm going to bring my, you know, 7-year-old. And people were saying, no, go see it first.
Yeah.
So that you know what you could be prepared for to talk to your kids about.
I could see your kid crying when you after actually watching see this it. Movie, honestly.
I would not take my kid to that until they're 13. I don't think they'd like it.
Right, so, but let's say you hadn't seen it, and it's a Star Wars movie. Yeah, your kid likes Star Wars. You might, you know.
I totally get that people could have accidentally...
Well, you think, you know, there's a... There's usually, you know, with the kids, and they're watching Star Wars, the original trilogy, they kind of fall in love with Darth Vader, because he's not really portrayed as... I mean, he comes across as a bad guy, but not a really big bad guy, right? I mean, there's a couple scenes, but...
Right, he chokes one guy out, and other than that, he just fucking walks around looks scary.
Right, but in this, in Rogue One...
fucking straight-up murders fools!
It's like, whoa, you know,
I still think,
there goes my love.
I still think Revenge of the Sith is darker...
Me too.
This one.
Well...
Yeah. I think so, too.
I don't know, man. What? Give me some evidence. I understand that his legs get cut off.
Some gang, you know, it's off screen, but he gangs a bunch of kids.
Right, but you're gonna miss that if you're 7 years old. You're not. Right. You're gonna be like, oh, he walked into the kids.
Like, you know? He fights his best friend to the basically death.
Yeah, he does get his legs chopped off.
Battle on Mustafar.
Right, and that is like that is a super like because we watched it and it's like I'm watching it. I'm just like, this is like. It is by far the best part of that movie because it's super emotionally intense and it's, like, got a lot of, like, the lava's going, like, doosh, explosions, and they're just sitting there just beating on each other for, like, 15 and a half minutes. They're just, like, wailing on each other and they're just yelling, going, like, you betrayed me! And he's like, no, I'm trying to do this! And it's, like, they're wailing on each other. And he's so filled with rage... Even after he gets his legs and his arm chopped off, he's just sitting there screaming and spitting up and on fire, just all like his hate is so strong. And then they end it so cheesily with no. Which brings like basically takes the movie and makes it like this whole super emotionally super strong move and they just go like no and you're like, oh, okay. That ended.
Yeah, it was like, okay, the prequels are starting to redeem themselves with this movie. And then they end it with a no.
Like, Padme dies. You know, stuff like that. There's, like, it is harsh.
I agree that it's a very dark movie. I guess I'm okay with that. It's just, yeah, I mean, you do see... I guess it's easier for us to, because we know going in that Anakin's fall. We know we don't fall in love with the character because, one, he's played by a douchebag, and he whines all the time. And, two, we know who he's going to be. We know he's evil, and he's going to be this guy. And kids might not know that. I don't know. It's hard, because you don't see it from their eyes. You see it from our eyes, our old, jaded, crusty eyes, and we've seen fucking Vader choke force the shit out of people. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because what was it? On the way back from Rogue One, like, the whole way back, like, I basically explained, like, the whole, like, I explained the prequels. I'm like, how Vader came to be Vader and stuff to Tiffany, and I'm like, man, I guarantee we could take almost the same plot, and we could make it really strong. Like, because I was explaining it, like, you know, like, and going, like, he's emotionally distressed because this one guy is saying, like, this, the Jedis are saying, hey, no. You cannot love anybody. You have to love. You cannot love. Love will basically bring you down. Having emotional love makes you
can only love yourself.
Makes you weak and stuff like that.
By the way, just let me interrupt real quick. I disagree with the Jedi on that.
I think that's the whole thing is because they're so black and white.
They're rigid. Yes.
They're so rigid. That's going to happen. Right.
I think Obi-Wan also did not agree with that.
Even though I thought it was super funny in Revenge of the Sith, he tells Anakin, he goes, like, only Sith deals in absolutes, which in turn is an absolute, which he says.
That's true. I didn't think about that. So we all had a little bit of Sith in us.
Well, didn't Anakin call him out on that, too?
Yes, and that's the whole thing. It's like, their too rigid. Their doctrine is too rigid. If it would have just loosened up just a little bit, I think it would have been more strong.
Yeah, I agree with you. Shouldn't Jedi always just carry around hoverboards too? Because as soon as you have the higher ground, you win. So they should just always have a higher hover ground.
Why aren't they always you know, on them anyway?
It's the best tactical advantage. I'm 4 feet ahead of, above you. Yeah.
So Force Awakens, I think she is definitely the protagonist, and like I think they're both protagonists. They're all really good.
Some of them are just like cool, good characters. You know what I mean? Like and not they don't make protagonists. Even Donnie Yen, who is an awesome character, is sort of like a cool, awesome companion character. Not I don't think he makes full on hero in the sense of like movie hero. He was clearly a hero, but not for the key protagonist.
Sure.
But he had I'm the one with the Force. The Force is one with me. Also, when he had that amazing line when they putting a bag over his head, he's like, really? I'm blind.
I know. That was good. So, him and his buddy at the end, and then the one time she says, may the Force be with us, is that the only time we talk about the Force in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool in a way, you know. It's like having only one Jedi at the end of the movie. That's like it. Other than that, it's just kind of a different movie.
That's why it wasn't a Star Wars movie to me. Like, I mean, it wasn't like the other ones. Is that?
It's called Rogue One, a Star Wars movie. It has to be a Star Wars movie.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you
more
mean.
Of a war movie. Like that. Yeah. That made it. If you had Jedis doing Jedi stuff, it would have been more similar. And the fact that there wasn't a lot of Jedis doing Jedi stuff, you got Vader for a little bit, but otherwise it's a cameo of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't get much Vader at all. I did notice, we should go back and watch the trailer for that movie, because there's a lot of scenes that were not in that fucking movie. Like, her with the black armor with the TIE fighter right rising up the back or something like that.
Right, yep.
She never says, this is a rebellion, I rebel. She never says that in the fucking movie. It's like the one thing you remember from the trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's weird when they do that.
This movie had a lot of extensive reshoots, remember? Like, later on, and everyone was kind of worried about it, they came in and reshot a lot of things.
Right.
So, I don't know. And I did... What's that?
I wonder if they're going to have like a really long extended cut.
Probably. And I did read an article that said that the director, or it was the writer or the director, one of the two, originally thought that Disney wouldn't let them kill their characters, so they wrote around that. But then Disney was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I see it. Why else? These characters pretty much have to die, otherwise they'd be in every other movie, probably. So,
right.
Which they were like, really? We get to kill all our characters? Oh, fuck. All right.
That's interesting.
It's a smart Disney move, man. It's like, okay, Disney's like, we're going to deal with our Disney stuff. You Star Wars guys deal with your Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, that's
Marvel
right.
Marvel guys deal with your Marvel stuff. We'll just take all the big monies that you give and use our bulldozers to push it all into our giant Scrooge McDuck vault.
Oh my god, I want to have a Scrooge McDuck vault like that. I just want to see their Scrooge McDuck vault.
I just wonder like how he did that, man. It's all coins, which is just metal. And he's diving off into it. And it's like, metal still hurts.
Apparently, once you get so rich, you become immune to metal. So you can just go through it like water. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's some sort of weird physics thing. When there's enough coins together, it takes on the, you know, like the all the aspects of a liquid.
It's pretty fun. Okay. What else was I thinking about Star Wars? There was a lot. I can't wait till Sunday. I almost saw it. We should have seen it last night. Fuck the fucking movie we watched. We should have watched it last night.
Yeah, I thought about it after we were sitting there for a while. I'm like, man, it would have been fucking good to go watch it again. But
Creed was good, though.
No, Creed was good. I liked it, especially that fucking shot that still... I'm still thinking about that shot. The first fight where it's just one continuous shot through the entire fight. That's cool.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
To each corner, and it weaves around them, and it weaves to each corner between the round. And that was a cool fucking shot.
Yeah, right.
But Star Wars is Star Wars.
Like, Forrest Whitaker, Saw Gerrera, like, I don't know, like, why he gave up, honestly.
I think I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. I think that he realized that he was a burden to them at that point because he's so slow. He's got a fucking one leg, and he's like, I'm not going to make it out of here by the time with you guys. Go leave me because you might not make it with me. You definitely will probably make it. You might have a new chance with just by yourselves. Because I thought that same thing. I was like, I don't like when people just give up. But I think that might have... I at least I can forgive him for that reason. Although.
Well, did he know there was a way to escape? Or I guess she did say, come with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it could just be that he had done so much that he's like, fuck, I've done so much evil in this world. You know, fuck it. You guys take over.
I don't
over
think
from
he
here.
Thought he was bad. I honestly think he was, like, sick.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Like, it's like the dude says, I've done things I'm not proud of in the name of the rebellion. That kind of thing. And he, by all intents and purposes, was the radical, you know, the terrorist that does things. So that's what I mean by not evil, but bad in that way.
Like, that gangster move where he's on the, where he's sitting there and he's all like, okay, talking to the guy, he's like, there's a pilot escaped. He's all like, and he shot that dude. He's just like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, that's some dark stuff right there. That's some stuff where you're like, okay, he is doing this because, like, he is a believer in the rebellion and will do what he needs to do.
Yeah. Well, even the pilot, he's like, this is probably going to destroy your brain, but I need information. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, it's weird. Like, if that was us, like, let's say Trump militarizes America, we got to go in the underground, and we've done things. You know, we've killed people to try to make a point to bring back the noble Bernie Sanders and defeat the Trump. You know, what's that going to do to your psyche eventually? And if you've done really bad shit, and you're basically a good person that does bad things in a name of a cause.
Right, and that right there, always, whenever that, like, thought or process makes me think of Serenity a lot, where it's like the operative, where he's like, he's like, oh, I do terrible things.
Yeah.
There is no place for me in the new world we're trying to make. It's like, I completely understand that. It's like, I will be an outdated relic that they will have no use for me. Once I have solved all, we have fixed the problems that we're having, they will just get rid of me.
Yeah, that was a good character.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot of good characters on that show. That's too bad.
that's too bad.
Well, the show's over, which makes me sad, and they killed off a bunch of the good characters. So.
Right. That was a good show.
Yeah. Okay, anything else about Star Wars? Oh, God, I should have written down some of my questions and thoughts and stuff.
I just, like, they really had the wars in Star Wars. And I like the politics of it, like, you know, like, the rebellion's all like, dude, I don't know, man, a lot of them are like, come on, guys, let's go, it's not a trap this time. We will be springing the trap.
Yeah, that was cool. And did anybody confirm that Grand Moff Tarkin got more screen time when he's dead than he's alive?
Yep, he did.
I think he got more screen time in this movie than he did in 1977, the year he died. Which is kind of funny. It's like, you want to be in this movie? He's like, nah, I'm old. I'll be in a movie for a few minutes. And he's not in the movie much. It's like three scenes, maybe, four scenes. And then he's dead. And here, he's like, they just keep bringing him back and bringing him back.
And, like, there was, like, he didn't like the boots that he wore, so he's like, yeah, George, I'm not going to wear these boots. He's like, okay.
You can shoot me from the knees up.
You can shoot him up from the knees up, so he's just wearing slippers the whole time because he's fucking old and awesome.
That is awesome. That's like an old fucking old man thing to do. It's like fucking Carlin, where you used to just wear a bathrobe on stage and shit.
Right.
Or not Carlin. Who the fuck? Fucking Dangerfield, right? Dangerfield. He'd be like, I don't have anything else on but a bathrobe, and you're going to see my balls sometimes. Because I'm old, I don't give a shit anymore.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
The last few years of his life on tour, he just wore a bathrobe, and people were like, you're standing above me, I can see your balls. And he'd be like, I don't fucking care, I'm 75 years old, what are you going to do about it?
That is something cool about old people, when they just don't give a shit. Yep. About what anybody thinks.
They stop being politically correct, and then they start like, oh, I don't like those blacks, or I don't like those Mexicans. Oh, that's not what you meant by what's cool? Oh, sorry.
That's pretty good.
Alright, well, I think I'm Star Wars'd out. I mean, I thought I had more, but I guess I don't, which is kind of sad.
I feel like I need another watching.
Yeah, Sunday. Like, I can't wait. God, I can't wait till Sunday.
The movie like had tons of good, just mainline plot stuff that you're following and, you know, very carefully. But then they had a lot of stuff on the edges that you can't really. It's hard to totally absorb when you're focusing on where the plot, the main plot line.
Sure,
going.
Sure.
So yeah, second watching will probably get a lot out of it, actually. Which is pretty cool.
Speaking of which, so what is your take on the best way to let somebody in on the little things? The things that don't matter, but you think are cool. So is it you laugh at something, you're like, ah, oh, that's neat, I remember that? Is it stopping and being like, do you remember that guy during the movie? Or just waiting till afterwards and then forgetting everything and they'll be like, I don't remember that part. You know what I mean? Because there's so much in this movie where it's like, that's fucking Red Leader. You know Red Leader, right? And they're like, what?
You see, that's Red 5. Red 5 dies. You know why there's a Red 5 opening now when Luke decides
that's to... That's why Luke's Red 5! Look at him! That's a little thing, but it's amazing! And they're like, what?
Last night, I had a guy from work went and saw Rogue One. First ever Star Wars movie. Has never seen any of the other Star Wars movies. And then there's another guy at work. He's seen them all. He's our age. He loves Star Wars. He's like, I gotta get in the theater, gotta see this one, kind of thing. So we were kind of hanging around talking today. And so I'm talking to the guy who's seen Star Wars. We're talking about all these little things. And the other guy's like, I really liked Rogue One. But now that you're like saying all these little things, now I need to go see... Now I need to see New Hope. Now I need to see the other ones.
Well, come on.
And I'm like, that's what I said. I gave you the original trilogy. You had it for 4 months and didn't watch a single episode. Didn't watch a single one. So,
yeah, but you know, there's something special about the fact that his first movie, Rogue One, is going to lead in. It leads so perfectly into fucking a New Hope.
That you're talking about. It's Rogue One ends right where New Hope starts.
Yeah, like a few hours after, as they chase shit. Right. I mean, and that's kind of cool. We never got to see that. We saw it in reverse order, but maybe that's why I liked it more. I don't know. But my point being, Ryan, you're sometimes in this situation.
Yeah.
So
most definitely.
What's the best thing on your end? Do you just like, tell me after, or I want to be part of it as it's going on? What do you think?
I think you almost have to do it after, because in the midst of it, You're trying to enjoy the movie.
I know.
And I heard people go like, oh, and stuff like that, and I didn't know what was going on. It did happen a couple times. And it didn't bother me at all. It made me curious. And then you lose track of it. So that's another reason why a second viewing would be interesting. Sure. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I don't even know, like, say you're not a big enough fan to know, like, some of these things mean, would you being told later, would that make it more interesting, or
I don't know.
Do you still not, you might not care still, you might still go like, huh.
I don't know, but you might have the response that I had about the whole Journey of the Wills thing. I thought it was fucking cool that was in a movie.
Yeah.
And you might too, but somebody might be like, oh, did you see how Red 5 blew up, so Luke gets to be Red 5 in the next movie? And they're like, I didn't see that, but that's cool, or maybe you wouldn't care. I don't know.
Well, personally, the way I feel about it is that I would actually like to hear these things. I kind of wish you guys who would watch it again and, record the things that are interesting callbacks, and then tell them and say, in this part it was cool because this is a callback here. And
there's
this
so
guy was
many, though. I mean, even just from sights and smells or sounds, you could very easily be like, oh, cool. You remember that mouse droid, right? Or look at that door. That door is the same. Where do you draw the line between little stupid shit and stuff that's kind of more cool?
Well, it's different when you're... On your first watching, you kind of draw the line by basically saying nothing during the movie. And then later, just some 5 or 10 things that you'd think of that are cool. But then but having seen it once, if I see it again, I want to get up to speed. I want you to explain why you guys went, whoa, on that part, when I'm like, what the fuck? That was cool, but not that cool.
Yeah. See, that's why we got to watch it, talk about it afterwards, and then go see it again.
But with Amy and her dad, you probably just have to act excited like you are and enjoying it. Because I think enjoyment is contagious. But, like, giving facts during it is probably not going to fly. You
know, but the one, like, the one piece of evidence that's missing a little bit is if, let's say, this is like, you best watch yourself. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. I'll get this. What was that? What's going on? Who is that?
That happened.
And the Nefskers, for some reason, love to fucking talk and, like, crazy in a movie. It's like they got...
Really?
Oh, my God. Like, what was that girl's name? I don't remember. Do you remember? I don't... It's almost to a point where, like, in an opening, I'll get kind of embarrassed a little bit. I'll be like, shh. You know?
Well, maybe you got a different situation, because I'm totally the opposite. I'm like, I don't want to hear anything except for the movie while I'm watching a movie, you know? So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to play... You might have to play... Get cool and not make too many outbursts. For worries, you'll have to have a long conversation about the history of Star Wars. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, what I noticed, like, when we were watching Creed last night, Ryan, when things were doing certain things that, like, I was doing during Star Wars, like, certain things will get tense and I'll sit forward, and then Ryan was watching Creed and they're throwing boxing punches, and Ryan's, like, sitting up on the edge, and he's just, like, he's super intent, he's just like,
but that's a good point, because shit came up in Creed where we're like, oh cool, that's his fucking thing from before, or you know, that's the gym that they used to train, or that Apollo chair trained in, you know. And
right.
Since we're watching at home and there's like downtimes between, you could be
right.
Like, oh cool, that's cool, you know. So and that way I kind of enjoyed it more than seeing it in the theater.
Yeah, I agree. That's true.
Oh, it's a mystery for the ages.
Right. It's a balance. I think it's like 10% share, 90% quiet, and let them, because the movie was good independent of the other movies, so that's
right.
Where, you know, it doesn't need that as much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for your input.
No. It's, yeah. Do what you want.
All right. Cool. Star Wars going once, going twice.
Alright.
I know.
AT-ATs.
I'll let you know how the second viewing goes if I catch anything or if anything's interesting to me. So.
Cool. Bring up the Hammerhead Corvette.
Speaking of which, it's weird that that second Star Destroyer couldn't get out of the way. It's like, dude,
whoa.
Get the fuck out of the way.
They didn't see him coming.
They were fighting, sure, so their turbo lasers were all fire. They're like, oh, we can't do it. I can understand.
They were they're slightly ahead of the other one, you know, and then...
Wait, how'd that go? I'm just making sure. I couldn't visualize. I needed your hand to hit the other hand.
I just like everybody the technology, too. Right, like, it's like, oh, the files are too big. They have to be held on these giant, weird hard drive things. And I'm like, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, so let's just, you know what, real quick, let's talk about the structure of the movie. Just on a kind of a top level. So we get our requisite backstory of Jin real quick. That's fine.
Yep.
The Rebellion breaks her out, so she's technically with the Rebellion after that for a while. And what are they doing? They're going to...
The reason they break her out is because they have information that... there's a pilot that was sent
gotcha.
By him.
That's where we
they need to have her, because they're saying like, hey, tell us everything you know about this guy.
Okay,
you know?
So sorry, that's what I was looking for. So the Rebellion breaks her out because they needed her to talk to another guy to find out where the other guy is, basically.
Saul,
yep. Wait.
Saul
Guerrero. They need to talk to Saul, yeah, and
right.
Saul doesn't talk to anybody. He's not a very cooperative rebel.
Right, and they're pretty sure Saul has the pilot. So, in other words, they want to talk to the pilot. They need to talk to Saul. They need to get Jin to talk to Saul. Which seems kind of convoluted. It's really not. It's basically that... Because I want to boil it down to what the plot is here. It's
yep.
It's her backstory, getting her so she can talk to him, to talk to him, to talk to the pilot.
Yeah, Jin took care of... Or Saul took care of Jin when she was young. So they have a
yeah.
close relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Saul knew the pilot who had information about... The Death Star.
Sure.
Yep.
Details of the plot. I appreciate it. And then from there, they find out, oh, shit, he may be on this planet, whatever the fucking planet. We go to a lot of goddamn planets in the movie. I can't remember the name of the planet.
It is a Kyber crystal processing plant. So Jedha has a bunch of Kyber crystals, which are used to power the Death Star. They steal them all. And blow up the temple, and all those things are being processed at this location where her father is.
Right. So
the pilot's like, there, go there.
Yep. So we're off this planet. So we went from her backstory, the rebellion, to this planet where we meet all these people, shit happens, and now we're going to the Kyber place with her dad might be at.
Yep.
Awesome. Right. We get there, shit happens, he dies, and we go back to the rebellion, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Did we get any information from him on that planet, or was he just like, there's a weakness?
Well, remember, they went there because she's the only one that saw the hologram.
Yep.
Of, you know, about that. So they needed him so that he could come and tell the rebellion what's up.
That
he dies.
Yeah, that was her point of view. He was going to kill her, or at least the rebellion's supposed to kill him.
Right.
Right, which was true.
Which, yeah. By the way, if they kill him, like, and this thing's already done, then they have no... Like, I don't... That one guy seemed really anxious to kill him when he could give you information. I thought that was weird.
Yeah. Well,
he was under orders, right?
No. The other guy. No. The main general the guy who's giving the orders, who's like, kill him. Fucking kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so anyways, did we get any other information at there, or did he just die? I don't think he said anything, right? He was just like, oh, I have so much to tell you.
Just that Jin, because we got all the information from the hologram. He says, like, I have built in this thing in there.
Cool.
You have to get the plans, though, to make this work.
Right.
You have to go to this planet, like Scarif. I think that's maybe what it was. You have to get this thing. You have to go open this thing. You have to get the plans.
Sure.
Then everything will work.
So my point...
Like, I need to get my father instead.
Right. So my point being, at that planet where the X-Wings come in and do their bombing runs, which is pretty fucking badass watching X-Wings do bombing runs, we didn't get any other information. We went there to find him, but we didn't get anything.
We did get... Yes. What happened there was character transformation.
Yes. She became more part of the rebellion, right?
Yeah, that's
what
motivation.
It was.
And also, he decided to not be a total tool.
That's
and just murder people.
Great point, obviously. So, there we went there to get character motivations and stuff like that. Alright, cool. So, we go back to Rebellion. Rebellion's like, sorry, nope, can't do it. And one Admiral's like, fuck you, I'm gonna do it. And then they're like, I can't do it. So, then they take off. They're all like, we're with you. And then they take off. She does not say, this is a Rebellion, we rebel. And instead, they just go to the shielded planet, right? Alright, and Shielded Planet is where shit goes down. Like, a lot of shit goes down in this fucking movie at the Shielded Planet. I think the entire third act is just Shielded Planet, shit going down, and awesome watching rebels try to do shit, which is cool. And we get to see new ships, and we get to see AT-ATs go down, and we get to see a whole bunch of other crap. Fun times.
Yes.
Our protagonists do not get off that planet, but the information does.
Yep.
Conceivably, it gets to that hallway, which I think is the best scene in the movie. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that was the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Just the fucking black smoke, and then the... And then it just starts...
Yeah.
It's not the old Vader. It's not old lumbering Vader. It's moving quick and force-grabbing people like in the video games and shit, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And
that was a great scene.
Yeah, that was. I think it's the best scene in the movie. It is.
I agree.
Sorry. You can have all your hammerhead Corvette smashing into Star Destroyers all you want. To me, this is the movie scene.
Hey, that was my vote last week. I agree.
Okay, and then that whole scene is good with the hallway and the moving and the chase scene, and then we get to see Carrie Fisher, and that's the movie, basically, right?
Yep.
Cool. I just want to break it down to its elements, which were... Backstory, Rebellion needs to find a guy. We go to that planet for character development, and then we go back to Rebellion, and then we go to the shielded planet, and shit goes down, and then hallway. That was basically the movie right there. We just summed up the movie in like 5 minutes. Yeah. We should do that. You don't need to see the movie anymore.
You need to find this hard drive that has information to transfer that information to the Rebellion. That's pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird. It's kind of like a... There's not a lot there, but there's a lot of details. It's almost like a heist movie. I'm not saying it's a heist movie, but a heist movie is similar in that, hey, there's stuff here, let's go get it.
Right.
The plot is thin, but you still make a movie out of it, right?
Right, like, because if you break down Ocean's 11, it's like, oh, cool. What do you want to get? We want to steal all this money from this guy that hurt our friend. Done. That is, and the everything else is all about them trying to steal money from him. That's right. All. It's super simple.
Yep. I think it was interesting that it almost felt like a change of type of movie, right? It became,
yeah.
It was like a search, or a kind of a searching slash discovery movie, and then, or putting a puzzle together, and then it became the kind of, what do you call it, the heist slash let's watch ships blow up and fight in space movie. So, it was cool. Yeah. You got a little bit of everything. Oh, and one thing that I fucking remembered is Mon Mothma talks about Bothans dying in Return of the Jedi, doesn't she?
Right. Yep.
So it has nothing to do with these plans.
Right.
I think it's in Jedi, which would make the canon still fine.
Wait, what is she talking about in that one then?
It's the second Death Star that they build that was not complete yet. And they bring there the information saying
the location
and the forest base that's shielding on Endor and stuff like that.
And the codes to get in.
Yeah, it's an old code, but it checks out, sir. I think that's Jedi,
right? Because it's basically they actually have like a thing like Mini Bothans did not die to bring us information on this Death Star. It brought us the information on the other Death Star.
Yeah,
it's about the half-built one.
And it's tough because you know Mon Mothma is so captivating. You can't remember what movie she's in, but so everything's fine. Our continuity still lines up. We're okay.
I think they can't build any more Death Stars.
No, I can't.
They build planets instead.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a Death Star.
Death Star.
They have to stop with that too. They got to build now that thing where it's the Death Star, but it's on a small little ship and just goes around blowing things up. It's like an X-wing sized ship with a Death Star laser. What book was that? Where it just flies around with a hyperdrive. Okay,
Kevin J. Anderson.
Yeah,
but then it would be interesting because, I mean, they could kind of do that because one of the Hutts then acquires it. And it's like, so now a Hutt has it, and the Hutt doesn't care about, all they care about is making money. So it's basically like, now it's like, hey, planet, I'm going to blow you up unless you give me a bunch of money. And they're like,
$1 billion.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it would be, yeah, because we're not going to get I don't think they're going to be an in-between movie between Empire and Jedi, because then we'd need the Bothans.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was good. It worked out. That was my one main complaint with the movie, and it's no longer a complaint for me because I was wrong. So, yeah.
Yay.
Cool. Okay, so can we be done?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
If you have any more Star Wars questions or thoughts, write them down. We'll talk about next week. but I think we're gone. We're good for the day. Happy Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Jewish thingy, whatever you happen to celebrate. But I'm just going to say Merry Christmas because that's what I celebrate. And we can't be PC anymore under Trump's America. We'll see everybody next week.
I like the fact that you remembered Kwanzaa, but you forgot, like you said, like the Jewish thing. Like Hanukkah?
I work with a lot of black people. But no,
what is Kwanzaa? Anyway,
it's a celebration of Kwan. You know Kwan from that fucking Jerry Maguire movie where he's like, where's the Kwan?
Yeah, well, that's a good movie.
That's on the list now, too. So. All right, we're gone. GeeksNextDoorFTW@gmail.com is the email address, or we got the Facebook page of the same thing. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.